Welcome to Todd Talks, where I help you design your best life. Not the life that I design for you, but the life that you desire. In today's episode, I have a special guest with me, Rich Lewis. He is an author, speaker, and coach that focuses on centering prayer. Now, he has been practicing centering prayer since 2014, and I'll let him tell you a little bit about that. But he says that it has changed his life, and because of that, he wants to help you know how it can change yours. Silence, silent prayer, or centering prayer, as he would say, are countercultural. And I'll let him kind of explain that as we get into it. But Rich, tell me a little bit about yourself. Who are you? How did you get into this? And the floor is yours.
Sure. No, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And hopefully I'll share something that'll help your community. So how did I find centering prayer? I had always been attracted to silence. I just didn't know what to do in the silence. I had read books back in 2011, 2012 by Carl McCullman. He talked a lot about the transforming power of silence and just sitting with God. I don't remember him talking about a practice. So at that time I would just sit. And at that time it was brutal and it was hard. And I remember watching the clock and just setting the timer for 1 or 2 or 3 minutes. But I persisted. But I guess fortunately, in late 2013, I was just perusing Amazon looking for a book to read. And I came across Healing the Divide, Recovering Christianity's Mystic Roots by Amos Smith. And as I began reading this book, he talked about a silent prayer, a wordless meditation practice that he'd been doing called centering prayer for about 15 years up until that point. So that immediately intrigued me. And I started learning more about centering prayer and how to do it. And I immediately emailed him on his website. We began a back and forth dialogue, and I was asking him lots of questions. And we actually, to this day, we've become friends and we now talk once a month. And he's partly responsible for my book, quite frankly, that I wrote. So I guess I found centering prayer on Amazon, or it found me, or God pushed me to Amazon, pushed me to this book. And it resonated with me. And we can talk about how you do the practice, but the practice sitting in silence no longer was hard and brutal and agonizing and felt like an eternity. It felt right. This was a practice that taught me how to sit and open to the presence and actions of God within. And it just resonated with me. And I really haven't looked back, and I've been at it since June of 2014.
Now, what brought you to the desire or the idea of sitting in silence? Because that's not something in our world, as you say on your post discussing yourself and your practice, you say that silence is countercultural. So what brought you to this countercultural thing of sitting in silence? Because our society is full of noise.
No, I mean, that's a great question. I think some of it was I just thought my depth of prayer was on the surface. I felt that my relationship with God was on the surface. I felt that there was something more, and I just didn't know what it was. So I was kind of in an exploratory phase of, am I really relating to God as well as I could? Is my prayer life as deep as it could be? Is there more to this than what I'm currently experiencing? So it was more of, I didn't know what I was looking for, but I knew that my relationship with God and my prayer life lacked depth. So maybe I was going a foot underwater when I could have submerged myself and been a submarine, perhaps, and gone as deep as possible. So I think I was just looking for something, but I didn't know what it was. And fortunately, I found it in Amos' book. And then I've been reading other authors of centering prayer and other people that practice silent meditation. And of course, you can read about it all you want, but the most important thing is you need to do it yourself and experience it for yourself and how it can change you.
That's great, because as I understand it, you felt you were just surface level with God. And don't we see that in so many things in this life, in this world, that everything has become very superficial? This is one of my biggest complaints, the soapbox that I like to jump on about today is we have so many conveniences, so many abilities, and so many tools and technologies that relationships and our spirituality and even our conversations have become so surface level, so superficial. And I think it's important that we get into deep thoughts, deep spirituality, deep thinking, because without it, we're missing a major part of life. And so as you got into centering prayer, what was the biggest epiphany that you had?
That
developed this relationship that you wanted with God?
I guess two things. I guess one, God changed for me, and I'll talk about what I mean by that. And then I also began connecting to my true self, the person God wanted me to be. And I'll talk about what that means to me. So God changed for me as I sat, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, now year after year. God changed from not just above me looking down at me or looking down at me and being critical or perhaps unhappy with me, or I wasn't sure, was he happy? And I'm saying he, she, spirit, was God happy with me? God changed to being present at all the time, a loving presence that loves me, a presence that wants me to enjoy life, a presence that wants me to let go of fears and anxieties and worries and lack of confidence and move forward and do new things, explore, live the life that I want to live, but have been afraid to live. So God really has changed from being above me and looking at me and being critical to walking with me, within me, and waiting to come out and be expressed, kind of ahead of me, kind of nudging, pushing me, nudging me to come forward, and behind me, gently pushing me. So just a partner in life versus looking at me and being critical, or just a presence, just a loving presence that loves me and wants me to be happy and wants to partner with me in life. And sometimes is patient, saying, let's go, but I know you're not ready.
Hey, I totally get it. My belief system has always told me that, and I totally have thought this and lived this, that God is the creator of my spirit. He is our Father. And so maybe it's just the way my mind works, but I've always thought of him as that loving, caring father, just like I try to be a loving, caring father to my kids. He's there wanting the best for us. So I love that you were able to come to that realization through this change, rather than him just being somebody that's out there judging us. He's actually a loving father that's supporting us. So exactly. That's a great, great, epiphany to have. Now, the second part, you said that he changed you. You found your true self. Tell me more about that.
So I think during centering prayer, you connect to your true self. You let go of who you are not and become who you are. And maybe why don't I quickly explain how you do centering prayer? Because during centering prayer, it's a letting go process. And then that letting go process follows you outside of your silent sit.
Okay.
So centering prayer is really considered two things. It is considered meditation, but it's also considered fostering a relationship with God. And centering prayer has been around for about 50 years. It was created in the early 1970s by three Trappist monks. They saw transcendental meditation and other forms of meditation happening, and they wanted something for the Christian community. And one of the priests, Father William Menninger, was reading a 14th century book called The Cloud of Unknowing. And as he read this book, kind of a method of where the silent prayer seemed to jump off the pages at him. So he and the other two priests began doing it amongst themselves, amongst other clergy, rolled it out to the public. And then in 1984, Thomas Keating, one of the Trappist monks, created the Contemplative Outreach Organization. And they have a website called contemplativeoutreach.org. It's really the main centering prayer organization, a ton of resources on that site. There's groups that practice all throughout the US and the different states and internationally in any country. So you could find a group anywhere. And nowadays, everybody seems to have moved to Zoom. So you could practice with a group or meet with a group anywhere, as long as you, I guess, you speak their language. So that's a little bit about the history of centering prayer. And then how you do it is you sit comfortably with your eyes closed. And then to begin your silent sit, you interiorly introduce what we call a sacred word of one or two or three syllables. So it could be God, love, beach, ocean, Jesus, trust, faith. You introduce that to signify you're sitting with God and you're opening to the presence and actions of God within. And then as you're sitting there, when you engage your thoughts, and what I mean by that is if you're thinking about all the things you did before your sit, or you begin thinking about the errands and responsibilities you have after your sit, you realize you're no longer sitting with God in the present moment, you're sitting with you. So you reintroduce that sacred word to let go of the engaged thoughts, to come back to the present moment. And then you let go of the word interiorly as well. So it's really just a continuous return to God in the present moment when you need to with your sacred word. And the only other thing I'll say is you don't have to use a word. I started with a word, and I guess people that are audible people like a word. I quickly discovered I'm more of a visual person, so I picture an interior image. Some people are more physical. They use their breath to come back to the present moment. And then lastly, some people are afraid they'll fall asleep, so they keep their eyes open and just stare at a spot, perhaps 4 or 5 feet in the distance, to keep themselves honed in on the present moment. So it's a letting go. So the letting go that you do in centering prayer comes with you into your everyday life. And I let go of who I'm not and become who I am, my true self, the person God wants me to be. So I let go of fear, anxiety, lack of confidence, worry, and just get out of my comfort zone and try and do new things, even if they're, you know, scary. And that's what I mean by it helps me become my true self. Many things I'm doing now are my true self. I didn't, prior to centering prayer, the thought of writing a book was not even on the radar. The thought of a website, the thought of speaking on a podcast, and I've been on over 100 at this point since the book launched almost 2 years ago, and the one-on-one coaching and the speaking that I do. None of this was on the radar screen, and I would never even have had the courage and confidence to do it. So that's what I mean. It's helping me live for my true self. What does God want me to do? What are the actions God wants me to take? Not only in my website work, but in my everyday life with my regular day job. It helps me with that. It helps me as a husband and a father and a friend and a person in the community. It helps me take the actions I should be taking in those different areas.
So when your mind starts to wander, you come back to the present moment with God with a thought or an image, a word. And then when you're in that present moment, how do you know that you're letting go? And how do you know that you're finding your true self?
So during centering prayer, you're really, all you're supposed to do is a continuous open to God. So you're constantly, and everybody's minds are racing and full of thoughts. So you could have a centering prayer session where you feel like all I did was keep returning to the present moment, and that's okay. So centering prayer is not the time to meditate on something and meditate on a thought or meditate on, oh, I just got a great idea, I got to do that in the future. It's a time just to completely let go and clear the clutter of your mind. So continuously let go of thoughts and emotions, particularly the engaged ones where you're kind of latching on to. Sometimes you naturally just let go of the thoughts and come back to the present moment. So it's really just a constant letting go and opening to the pure present moment where God is. And I think of it as a reverse prayer. God is praying in me during this time, the actions God wants me to take outside of my centering prayer sit. So you're just letting go of thoughts, emotions, engaged thoughts, and opening to God. It's outside of centering prayers where you kind of notice who your true self is. So outside of centering prayer, I'll do a lot of journaling, and I'll think about what does God want me to do with my website? What are some things he wants me to do during my day job? What are things he wants me to do as a husband? And I'll kind of journal them, and I call them my true self affirmations. I'll write down kind of goals in various areas of my life. And then I think of, for right now, I guess I'm what's called my true self barometer is if there's an excitement about them, there's an inner peace and calm about them. They don't harm me. They don't harm others. And they, there was one other inner peace, calm, and they're out of my comfort zone. Of course, many of them are outside of my comfort zone. If they kind of fit all that criteria, they stay as a true self affirmation. If for some reason it doesn't feel right, or it's not good for me, or it's not good for someone else, then I probably need to tweak it or remove it.
That reminds me of what I've always thought of when I know God's talking to me. Usually it's because something keeps coming up, an idea keeps popping up that I can't let go of. And then that usually leads me to go, okay, is this what you want me to do now? And it keeps coming up. Okay, that's the confirmation. So I need to go after, we need to go after those recurring thoughts, those recurring dreams, especially if, like you said, they don't hurt other people, they're improving something or someone or our own life. We don't always know why we're being called to do something. Other than that, maybe somebody else needs it. Maybe we are the answer to somebody else's prayer based on something we're going to say or do or be. And go ahead.
No, I mean, you're so right. I think of that. That's why my book got written. I remember, you know, I began forming this relationship with Amos Smith. I began working with him on his website before my website even existed. And then I remember him just challenging me, you ought to write a book. He says, my book's a little bit more academic. He was a pastor at the time. And he said, you ought to write something about how centering prayer has impacted you and changing you and healing you. I thought he was crazy at the time. And I just simply said, I would think about it. Then without me thinking about it, he began just nudging me to say, why don't you write down some single sentence statements, what you've learned about centering prayer. So then I took about a week or 2 weeks and shot him back an email with 13 or 14 comments about centering prayer. Then he shot me an email, said, there's the chapters of your book, go write. And I was like, I was not even ready to even, like, he was like, go, go, go. He kept saying, you ought to write a book. This is how you do it. You're ready. There's your chapters. And I was like still thinking, what? But then I spoke to my wife and actually, first thing I did was I picked one of them and I wrote one chapter over like 2 weeks. And I thought, he's going to think this is terrible and I don't have to worry about this idea any further. And I sent him back one chapter and he came back with, this is great. This is fresh. Go write your book. And then I realized that after, this is like the fifth or sixth time he's kind of telling me, write. I thought, maybe I should write a book. I just wrote a chapter. Maybe I really can do this. And I just said to my wife, would you be okay if I wrote a book? And she said, yes, because she's an entrepreneur herself anyhow. So I decided to write the book on Saturday mornings from about, I challenged myself to get up. I actually got up at 5:30 on Saturday mornings, went to the local Starbucks. This was all pre-COVID, and wrote the book over about 3 to 4 hours, and then would come back home on Saturday and spend time with the family. Because at that point it was like 10 o'clock in the morning and everybody was up and moving around and nobody missed me and I didn't miss anything. So that's how the book got written, is mostly at Starbucks early Saturday morning. And it got written because Amos wasn't going to accept no. He just kept telling me, right. And he was right.
Now, what's the name of your book so people can look for it?
Sure. The name of the book is Sitting with God, A Journey to Your True Self Through Centering Prayer. It came out 2 years ago. So it actually came out in August of 2020. It came out in the middle of COVID, which maybe was a perfect time for this type of book to come out.
And is that available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the places that that people can find books, as well as what's your website?
Sure. Yes. So it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, most online booksellers. It's available in paperback, and then it's available in Kindle on Amazon. Or you can come to my website, silenceteaches.com. I have a book, you know, about the book section where you can see what other people are saying about the book. And then there's links. Those links go to Amazon. But for those people that don't want to buy it on Amazon, you can buy it at a lot, almost many online booksellers.
Now I want to go back to your the actual process of doing it. Because I know I've done meditation, and I pray all the time. What's the biggest difference between centering prayer and meditation?
Sure. The difference is it is meditation, but during centering prayer, we believe we're opening to the presence and actions of God within. So that's what we do with our sacred word, is we let go of our engaged thoughts and open to the present moment where God is. And we believe God is within us. And I believe God is within us, praying really our future self, the person God wants us to be, or just giving us what spirit knows we need, whether it's inner peace, calm, a jolt to try something new. So that's the difference, is it's not just meditation, it's opening to God who is with us in the silence. And it's just letting God act in us at a deeper level than verbal prayer. So, and I tell people, don't give up your verbal prayer, because that's, and I still pray verbally as well. Just complement it with sitting with God and just sit with God. If you think about it, you know, and you're married, obviously. Sometimes you can just sit with your wife or walk with your wife and you don't need to talk. It's kind of the same thing. We can sit together. You can sit with you can take a walk with your wife. You can sit on a porch with your wife. You can do things, but you're not talking. You're just with each other. And you love being with each other. It's similar. And silent prayer is just sitting with God. We don't always need to talk.
Well, it's kind of like the way two guys can bond. Two guys can go out fishing, right, not say a word for 10 hours, come back and say, that was the best day ever. And they've totally bonded.
Well, you're right.
Very similar.
That's a good example as well.
Now, so it is like meditation. It is meditation. Have you always been into building and strengthening your spirituality? What brought you into this realm?
Yeah, I think even as a youngster, you know, in my teens and even preteens, I liked being in nature. I didn't mind solitude. I mean, I had friends, but I was okay with being alone. I was okay with going on solo bike rides. I was okay with walking. I was okay with going to a nature park and doing these types of things by myself. So I think those just connected me to, I didn't know what I was connecting to other than something attracted me to the night sky, or something attracted me to walking through a park, or something attracted me to nature, or something attracted me to just being alone with myself, reading a book, or just being with my thoughts. But at the time, I didn't know what that was other than it was kind of sacred time. And I guess God wasn't really in the equation. God was there. I just didn't realize it, but it was sacred time for me. And then as I grew older and began exploring, I began discovering, you know, everything is sacred and God is really in everything.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I totally agree. He is the creator of everything, and he is in everything. If we allow him to influence us, he wants to help us to improve our life. And so taking that time to be able to commune with God, because most of the time he's trying to tell us, this is what you need to do. And he's yelling at us, but we can't hear because of the noise of the world around us, because we've got headphones in, we've got iPhones, we've got computers, we've got work, we've got 1,000 different things on our schedule that keep us from actually spending time with our Father, our Creator, that is actually the best one, the one best able to teach us how to improve our life. And yet we spend so little time actually trying to hear what he has to say. So thank you so much.
No, and I think the best thing to do, what I do is I use journaling with centering prayer. So I sit with God And then outside of centering prayer, I do journaling. And that's where I write down, what do I think God is telling me? Because so I think it's important to sit with God, but I think it's important to then take time to think. And whether it's writing or even if you're just thinking out loud, what does God want me to do? And then, you know, I shared my true self barometer, and that works for me, but there's probably thousands of true self barometers that any person could do. So I think you need to sit with God, but then I think you need to take the time to think or write or walk and think or whatever it is to get away from the noise and think about who, what does God want me to do? What are the actions God wants me to take today? What are the future actions, long-term actions God wants me to take? But many people probably are just living day to day, doing their daily routine and never really thinking about what does God want me to do? What actions should I take today? And what are some long-term actions I should be taking or can be taking?
I agree. I think most people are just kind of living life, but not living life. If you understand the difference, and it's because they're living, but they don't have a purpose. They're not fulfilling their purpose because they're just getting by day to day and just in that little bubble in their comfort zone, where God usually pushes us out of our comfort zone in order to make us grow.
No, that's exactly what centering prayer journaling do for me. I sit with God and then I get up and walk with God instead of just going through the daily routines and expanding and growing and doing new things or just, you know, as we were talking before the podcast, you know, I lived in Pennsylvania for 20 years. My job became 100% remote. My wife's job always was remote. We've always wanted to move to the Charlotte area. So as soon as I told my wife in March of this year we can move, we began looking, and bam, we sold our house, and we'll move down there in December-ish when the house is ready. And that's a change. And I think we were listening to God, and we both feel very comfortable. I thought, how am I going to feel after I sold my house? Because I love my current house. And I thought, and I was wondering, okay, once it's sold and I leave and I know I can't go back, am I going to be distraught? And I'm not. I feel, and even my wife, we both kind of looked at each other and say, this feels right. And it was a good feeling. So we're listening to God that it was right. It was time to move. And it was time to move, you know, about 600, I think it's about 600 miles south.
Well, when you follow the path that you're supposed to be on, it feels right. And you don't have any recriminations for leaving.
Right.
So thank you so much. Again, those that want to get his book, it is on Amazon, and it's Rich Lewis. You can get his book. You can go onto his website, silenceteaches.com.
Yes.
And follow him. I highly recommend doing exactly what he says. I've been an advocate of meditation. I like this silent prayer technique. And then doing that with journaling, I've always been an advocate of that as well. And so for those of you listening, take a chance, get down into your just the present. Get down to the present moment, silence the noise around you, and listen. So thank you, Rich, for being on. Really appreciate it. I think this has been a great conversation. And as I always say, Todd Talks is available on Apple, Spotify, everywhere you listen to podcasts. If you like it, leave a review, leave a comment, and share it with a friend. If this was beneficial to you, share it with somebody that you know could benefit from it as well. I know you have lots of friends that could benefit from learning how to silence the noise within. As always, have a nice day.